You're our welcome guests, and we're so pleased to have you here and pray that what we do today is well-pleasing in the sight of the Lord and will lift you up and encourage you in the right path. And if you have any questions about the things that we teach or the things that we say, we certainly would appreciate your asking the questions, and we will sit down with an open Bible and pray the Lord to answer those questions according to His Word. You know, you may have noticed in the bulletin last week, and I was amiss, so zealous about teaching the lesson last week, I forgot to mention the bulletin, but there's a new heading on the bulletin, and that new heading is the building blocks of the faith. And when we think about the building blocks of the faith, we're really thinking about the foundation of Jesus Christ, the Lord, and each member of the body of Christ. Every Christian is as we read in Corinthians there, chapter 1 Corinthians 3, we're reading about us being the building. And we want to be that building. But in order to be any kind of building structure, you need to be building it. It does. Buildings don't build themselves. And so, you know, we think of a building as an integral kind of a locking thing when the bricks come together and they are an integral part of the body of Christ. The church is being built and established on grace and truth. That's what Jesus brought into the world, grace and truth. We read that in John chapter 1 and verse 14. And so, you know, all of us, when we think about a building, we're all like a shopping mall. You know, you have a mall, you walk in, and there's a JCPenney over here, maybe that's Dave, and there's a Kaufman's over there, and that might be Brother Dorian, and maybe Sister Carol is the shoe store over here, and the pet store over there. But inside the mall, there's multiple stores, but it's one big building and it's on one foundation. And that's how we are represented in the Bible. We're just individually being built up as part of that great building, the church. And it is that one foundation upon which we stand. We are God's building, and each one of us is personally responsible for continuing that building. We are established by faith and obedience, but once we make that commitment, when we're baptized into Christ, Jesus' blood washes away our sins, we're added to the body of Christ. That's that large building, but now each one of us individually is a building, as Paul put it. And even though we're built on that foundation, we have responsibilities. Every time you hear a lesson, every time you are here preaching, every time you're given a brick, each one of you, you're given a brick. When you study your Bibles, you're getting a brick. And that brick is filled with God's Word. It's a message from God. It's something that we should be paying close attention to. Those are the building blocks of our faith. On the screen behind me, and I know you probably can't read that. I'm not sure I can from here, but those are 25 of the 50 commandments of Christ that I've compiled so far. And you know, I ask people all the time that tell me how much they love Jesus with all their mind, heart, strength, soul, everything. And I ask them, can you tell me what Jesus commanded in the New Testament that we must do? And usually they come up with love the Lord your God, love your neighbor as yourself, and then it's dead silence. And I have over 50 that I know of, and I'm sure maybe there's more. Maybe you could add to my list. But everything that God has told us in the Bible, each one of these is just a representative of a block, a building block or a brick. And it is your duty to add that brick to the foundation of Christ, building up yourself in the most holy faith. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, Peter, he tells us, add to your faith. And that's what you do every time you hear a message. And to be clear, we are not the foundation. We are all part of the building that stands upon Him who is the foundation. We are part of that building that stands upon Him who is the foundation. And you get a brick or a block, and you're supposed to take that home. You're supposed to take that home with you. And sadly, and this is true with many Christians, when they hear the preaching, when they hear the teaching, when they're hearing the Word of God being read, they tend to leave that at the door of the building. They leave their brick at the door. And when they do that, what you're really doing is you're considering that brick as something that's just unimportant. There are times when somebody said to me, "Dave, what did you preach yesterday?" And I'll say, "Oh man, I don't remember." So I'm not judging. I'm just saying we need to fight hard to remember the things that we're taught, to remember those things that are preached, to remember the things we read about. Because when we don't remember, we're just leaving it at the door. We're leaving it as though it was unimportant. And listen to me, instead of thinking of that brick as it is, the Word of God, a priceless piece of gold. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to Psalm 19. Brother Randy mentioned that this morning. Psalm 19, just going to turn to verse 7 and read. "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart." Think of all the benefits that we're getting here from the Word of God. "The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." When we take these bricks home with us, they make us wise. They help us to rejoice in our hearts. They enlighten our eyes, helping, that's our understanding. "The fear of the Lord is clean and enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." And look at verse 10. "More to be desired are they than gold. Yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and keeping them there is great reward." We need to take these bricks home with us. More to be desired than gold. Think about that. The Word of God, one of the most precious metals on the earth, and the Word of God, the commandments of the Lord, they're better. And we need to take these bricks home with us. We need to take them home. And we need to add them to our faith. We need to be building up each and every time. That is what makes us stronger. That's what conforms us into the image of God. We need to take these bricks home. And what this means is that when you don't add to your faith, that which is given in each lesson, each preaching, each Bible study, there won't be any positive upswing in your spiritual life. And we've all heard that old story. They come and they sit and they go home, and then the week later they come and they sit and they go home, and it just becomes routine. Don't let that be your routine. Concentrate on what's being taught. Take notes during the lesson. Write the scriptures down. Go home and meditate on the scriptures. Get a copy of messages that you really like and understand them and better by taking them and listening and meditating. Listen, when you do that, it builds you up. It builds you up. It's the renewing of the mind, Romans 12 and 2. And when you do that, there will be positive upswing in your life. You'll find it easier and easier to be like God, and you'll be able to prove what that good and acceptable and perfect will of God is, Romans 12 and 2. And the only way to lay aside everything in your life that isn't right. You know, we all struggle. The flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit, we all struggle from time to time. But when you take hold of that word of God, that brick of gold, that thing that's more precious than gold, when you take that home with you, it helps you to make everything right in your daily life. To receive the implanted word of God with meekness is able to save your soul, enlighten you, cause you to rejoice. You see, it's so important, isn't it? You know, if we're not doers of the word, we know what James said. If we become hearers only, we know what James said. You're only deceiving yourself. James chapter 1 and verse 21 and 22. We need to be doers. And we can only do that by taking that brick home. Don't leave it here at the door. Far too often, many people are just too spiritually lazy to pick up that brick and take it with them. To take it home. To cement that brick onto the foundation, which is Christ, and to bring about a positive spiritual change. Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 18 that it is because of laziness that a building decays. So we don't want to be the pattern of people who are baptized and they go along for a little while, but they continue for the rest of their life on the milk of the word. Hebrews chapter 5. We want to be a people who are people that are eating the good, strong meat of that word. That means take the brick home. Before we talk about these bricks and how we can manage them, and I'd just like to take a second and talk about the foundation of Christ. We've discussed this in a few sermons not too long ago when we talk about the house on the rock, right, and the house that the Lord built. But we want to look at this very, you know, Matthew chapter 16, 18, when Jesus, he told Peter, on this rock I will build my church. And we all know, we've talked about this many times. If you've been in the Bible studies, that rock is the Greek word Petra, not Petros. And it means a massive rock. That's the foundation. And as we look at that, Jesus promised to build his church, only the one church. He said, I will build my church, singular, on this rock. And what rock? What rock? That massive rock. That ledge rock. Not Peter, not the Petros, not the stone, but the Lord's church would be built on the bedrock of that confession of Peter in verse 16 that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And it's clear, that's the rock on which the church is built, Jesus Christ. Peter professed that. And that's in harmony with other scriptures. If you consider Matthew 28, 18, that Jesus had all authority in heaven and earth, he was the one that was able to do this, able to accomplish this. Nobody else could have done it. Paul said that as a wise master builder, he said, I lay the foundation, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 10. Now, wait a minute, brother. You just said that Jesus is the foundation. And no, listen, in our scripture, nobody else can lay it. How did Paul lay the foundation in 1 Corinthians 3:10? What foundation did Paul lay? For no other foundation can anyone lay that is laid. What was it that he laid? It was Christ. 1 Corinthians 3 and 11. That was the foundation. How did Paul lay that foundation? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. He preached Christ and Christ crucified. That's how he laid the foundation, by preaching Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 20, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Listen, the foundation of the church is Jesus Christ. The church is not built on the apostles But upon the foundation of the apostles, what they laid down was Christ Jesus and Christ crucified. And that's the foundation. The foundation can always be trusted. The foundation of God will always stand. You know why? Because Jesus in John chapter 1 and in verse 14 or 4, he came in and he brought life and light. Light and life to the world. Because in John chapter 6 verse 63, Jesus, he brought the words to us that are the Spirit and the Spirit that gives life. And in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24, it's the words that he spoke that when we do that, taking those home with us, building our house, taking each brick, we're standing upon, we're building upon the rock. And so that's why. In Peter, he quoted in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 4, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 8. He was quoting from Isaiah 28, 16. He was quoting from Psalms 118, verse 22, referring to Jesus as a living stone, a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, a stone which the builders rejected, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. That's Jesus. He is that foundation. The foundation of God will always stand. It'll always stand. 2 Timothy 2:19, he said, "Let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity." Why? Because nevertheless, the foundation of God stands. And so we want to continue to build on this faith. And some brethren, you know, when you think about the foundation, some brethren may have feet of clay. But the solid rock still stands. The gospel plan of salvation might be perverted by hundreds of thousands, but in God's word it still stands. The pattern for worship and organization in the church, it remains unchanged. The purpose and the mission of the church has not been overthrown. The verses that teach about purity and godly living, and it's still in the book. The promises of God, still here. And it doesn't matter how many times that some people distort these things by their practice and their teaching. It doesn't matter how many times they pervert this through false teaching. What God commanded, it's still in the book. And so it will be until the Lord Jesus Christ himself comes back. Now we know that we can trust the foundation of Jesus Christ. We know that. And we know that we can't change that foundation. Nobody can. It was preached, it was recorded, and it stands forever. So how do we manage our brick? What are we doing with these things? What should we do with them? Well, Jude, if you'll turn your Bibles to the book of Jude, I always want to say Jude chapter 1, but it's the only chapter there is. And in the book of Jude, in verse 20 and 21, let's read that. Jude writes, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." This is what Jude wrote. And he's talking about, he used that word yourselves, okay? Now, and that's really significant. We build yourselves up on your most holy faith. Your most holy faith is the Word of God that you take in. It's every single brick from every single message, from every single lesson, every Bible study, and you're building that up. And the more you know, the bigger your house gets, the stronger your house is. It's all established on the foundation. But you're building yourself. It's not enough just to lay down one level of knowledge. I imagine most all of us who are of age have seen houses that are partially built. I've seen that. You know, just going up the Warrensville Center Road over here, there's a big building that you can see. The building was partially constructed, and inside is dirt. And it hasn't been done in all the years I've been here. And I've seen people who began to build and couldn't finish. You can't just lay down one row of brick. It's a constant thing day to day. It's something that we do each time, brick by brick. We have to continue building upon what we already have in our faith. Peter expressed it as he said, grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3:18. You know, we therefore need to take advantage of every lesson. Every brick is an opportunity to learn, to grow, and again, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We need that. And to build up yourselves suggests personal responsibility. It's the growth, personal responsibility. You know, while God and family, while the brethren here, we can encourage one another, but you must accept the personal responsibility and make every effort to continue to build. Nobody can build your house for you. This isn't a house where you can pay Dave to go build it. This isn't a house where you can get some group out there to go build my house for me. It's like you can do that with a brick and mortar house, but you can't do that with the Word of God. You are the only one that can build on the foundation of Christ, your house. Nobody can do that for you. Nobody can build your house. Nobody can build your faith. Nobody can get you into heaven. You have to do all that. It's your personal responsibility. So the first thing that Jude is expressing here is the importance of our continuing steadfast. That's kind of a summation of what he said from Peter, or Luke wrote that in Acts 2:42, continuing steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, taking every brick home and building up your house. And you know, we do this. Secondly, Jude talks about prayer in the Holy Spirit. Verse 20. He says, building on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. And I want you to think about this with me for a minute. Praying in the Holy Spirit. A prayer is the necessity or necessary complement to the Word of God. I mean, just think about this. In Philippians chapter 4, in verses 6 through 7, the Apostle Paul says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You see, prayer is powerful. When we think about prayer, we think prayer, you know, you think of the of prayer and the Word of God, prayer and your brick. They're like these two legs upon which your spiritual well-being stands. Both are needed. Both help us to have a well-balanced growth. And when we think about the prayer and what it means to pray in the Spirit, I'll tell you the truth. Paul uses that same expression in Ephesians 6 and 18. But in Galatians chapter 5 and in verse 25, Paul might give us a hint about what this means as we are told to walk in the Spirit, which suggests walking and living according to the Spirit's direction that is found where? In God's Word. In Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 3, the Apostle Paul, he writes, "Therefore, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life is in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free from the law of sin and death." And so when we think about the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, perhaps praying in the Spirit simply emphasizes the prayers that are in harmony with the Spirit of God that teaches us. You know, in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14, John writes, "Now this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will," praying in the Spirit, "he hears us." You know, think of this, that prayer is the mortar that fastens the brick to the brick into the foundation. And the more we add prayer to our meditation on God's Word, the more we add prayer, it becomes that essential component. And that will help keep us from falling. It shores everything up. And as we continue, though, now in Jude's writing, he says, "Keep yourselves," again, it's personal, "in the love of God." Keep yourselves in the love of God. There's two parts here when we think of this. The first part is, again, we see the need for personal responsibility. We are called upon with the words, "keep yourselves." And we are indeed, and you look at verse 1 of Jude, we are preserved. We are preserved in Jesus Christ by our willing cooperation with God. That is what we do with the Word, what we do with our bricks. Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 5, he said, "kept by the power of God through faith." So we ourselves established, built up on the most holy faith, that golden Word of God, that is more, the Word, the commandments of the Lord, more precious than gold. And we're building ourselves up on that. The power of God is the divine contribution to keep us safe. Properly receiving and applying every lesson, every brick going on our foundation is the human contribution to keep us safe. The power of God, His Word, is the divine contribution that keeps us safe, that saves our souls. And applying that to our lives day to day is our human contribution that helps keep us safe. And the second point here, he says, keeping yourselves in God's love. Jesus taught that keeping the commandments is the key to abiding in God's love. If we know the Lord, and we know that we walk in the love of our Father, then we know that we're an abiding in God's love. We know that's how we know that we love God, is by that abiding love. In John chapter 15, John chapter 14, rather. Turn there with me, John chapter 14. And I want to read verses 21 through 23. This is what Jesus said. He said, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me." You see how the Word of God, the commandments of the Lord, that thing that is more precious than gold, sweeter than the honeycomb, is proof that we love Him. "And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." And he goes on, Jesus that Judas Iscariot said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Take that brick home and my Father and apply it, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. And he who does not love me doesn't keep my word. You're leaving the brick at the door, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." You see, take it home. John chapter 15, verses 9 and 10. Jesus again, "As the Father loved me, I also love you, and abide in my love," Jesus said. "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Keeping the commandments of God is what really matters. Paul made that very clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 19. When the Apostle Paul, he said, "Circumcision is nothing, uncircumcision is nothing, but keeping the commandments of the Lord our God is what matters." And it also, it's the ultimate proof that we love God. In 1 John chapter 5 and verses 2 and 3, these are scriptures that we've studied in the past together, but by this we know the love that we love the children of God. When we love God and keep his commandments, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Pick up that brick. It is not that heavy. And the more times you pick it up, the stronger you get. The more times you take it home and apply it to your life and mortar it in with prayer, the stronger you get. I'll tell you, it's extremely powerful. And so through Bible study and prayer, we're mortaring those bricks in, we're living by faith, we're actually applying God's word to our lives. But to avoid turning this into a commandment legalism kind of legislation, let's move on a little bit and look for the mercy of our Lord. You see that there in Jude 21? Jude 21. This is what Jude said. "Keep yourselves looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." Looking for the mercy. And I want you to think of that with me. We have to always be looking for that mercy. We have to always be looking forward. We can't look back. The blessed hope and glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, Titus chapter 2, 11, that's in the future. And we got to keep our eyes focused on that hope. We need to be looking forward to the coming of the day of the Lord, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 and 12. They teach us about this. Looking for that new heaven and that new earth in which righteousness dwells, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 through 14, and Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 and 2. We need to be looking for these things, looking forward, especially as it pertains to eternal life and the mercy of God. Romans 6:23, right? "We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one." Eternal life is not something we earn, but it's graciously through grace and through Jesus Christ, his sacrifice on it's given to us who aren't worthy to have it. We're saved not by works of righteousness, but according to the mercy that we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life, Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 7. These are things that we stand upon. Those are the mercies of God. It is the precious, great promises of God. You think about the prayer that Paul offered up for Onesiphorus, that it's a prayer that we should all have for ourselves in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 8. The Lord grant to him that he might find mercy from the Lord in that day. That's a prayer we should be praying for ourselves and for one another. Well, you know, there's so much more, and I'm sure that we'll have some other lessons on the subject, but I want you to turn with me to the book of Hebrews as we close up this lesson today. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 and 21. Hebrews chapter 13, 20 and 21. The writer says, "Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant," look at 21, "make you complete in every good work to do his will." You know how he's doing that? He's sending you home with bricks. He's sending you home with bricks. Working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. He says, "I appeal to you, brethren, bear the word of exhortation, for I have written to you in few words." It's not complicated. You've been given bricks. Take them home. Do something with them. If you've not been baptized into Christ, let me give you a brick. Jesus said, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." There's a brick for you. What are you going to do with that brick? You're going to leave it at the door when you walk out? Or are you going to pray and mortar that in on the foundation of Jesus Christ? Well, you've heard it. And if you have sin in your life and you need to repent, you have a brick where Jesus said, "Unless you repent, you shall likewise perish." Luke 13 and 3. What are you going to do with that brick? Are you going to leave it at the door? Or are you going to treat that like precious gold and know that God is always right? What are you going to do? Whatever your need is this day, I invite you now to come forward as we stand and as we sing.